searching for some happiness to fill their empty eyes. Everyone needs a witness who will stand up unashamed, who will dare to make the difference, who will go in Jesus' name. To give him all my life, I will give my world a chance, and I will make, yes, I will make a difference. I am not my own, I belong to Jesus Christ, and I have found his peace and joy has filled my empty life, and now he calls, yes, he calls me gently to surrender all I am, to go and make that difference, to take a loving stand. I am called to make a difference in a world that needs to change. I am called to be a spokesman for the name above all names, called to bear the cross of Christ, called to give
Thank you. Great song. Let's stand together, please. It sounds a little different on the, and maybe it's because I don't have a monitor. Oh, I guess if you can get me there, that'd be great. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll read the first 7 verses. Of course, if we don't remember, what we're doing is starting this year on Friday school, I hope you remember, with the chin, starts a half an hour later. Robert said, aw. And when I went to school with Robert, we didn't even go to school. It didn't matter if it started a half an hour later. My school got out 5 hours early. Did yours? Yeah, exactly. I went to first period class, and then I took a break until seventh period class, because first and seventh period were the shop classes, wood shop and metal shop. All the rest of it was lunch. And I always nailed lunch. Got a good job there. But so it starts a half an hour later. What we're just trying to do is encourage you to be here on Thursday nights and help you out. I know that, you know, many of you work, you come straight from work, or you rushed, you got home, you ate, you got ready, you came here, you got to go home, there's school tomorrow, you got work. And so that's why we start right at 7, we end right at 8. If we have a special speaker, we might be a few minutes later. I understand that, and I'm sure you do, but we want to help you out with that if that helps you and helps the children. So we started that. This year. Let's look at Proverbs. We'll read the first 7 verses. Did you, everybody, get a handout tonight? Okay, if you didn't get a handout, raise your hand. Not the kind of handout Oscar wants, but the blanks. If we have any left, we'll fill those out. We'll give those out to you. Proverbs chapter 1. We're starting a new series tonight on Proverbs. Proverbs, one of the best books of the Bible, one of the most practical books of the Bible, and I think you'll enjoy it. I think we'll learn together as we look at it. Proverbs chapter 1, let's read the first 7 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you would be with us now as we start this journey through the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. I pray, Father, that you would help us to get, not just tonight, but as we go through this book, that which you have for us, that which will help us to live the life you want us to live and to follow your word. Bless us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, we're starting now, the first Thursday service we had. Last Thursday we did not have service. We had it on Tuesday. A bunch of people at camp and so forth. But we're going to start looking at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. God wants us to have wisdom. As we go through here, we'll explain what wisdom is, and most people don't understand wisdom, and we'll explain that in a few minutes. God has put a premium on wisdom. Look at the verse there, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 on your sheet. Wisdom is the principal thing, the primary, the number one thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs tells us if there's one thing that we should attain for, we should strive for in our life and attain, if there's something that is the vital importance for us to understand and to get, it is wisdom. And he says, so if that's true, go get it. Give everything you have to get understanding, which, as we see in a minute, will help us in getting wisdom. People with wisdom have the skill to face life realistically and with courage, so they can manage it successfully to fulfill God's will in their life. Many people don't do that. Many people, their lives, most of the people we will go past in a typical day, especially if you work out in the world and you work with people that don't know God, there are so many issues in their life. There are so many problems they face on a daily basis, things that aren't going well or they struggle with or they just think that's how life is, that could be fixed if they would simply get wisdom that God wants them to have. The same is true for you and for me. Proverbs was primarily written by Solomon. Now, there's a couple other people mentioned towards the end of the book. Some think that one of them was Solomon. Hezekiah also. Primarily, it was Solomon. Now, how is Solomon qualified? Look at 1 Kings. We looked at this story, if you were in church Sunday morning a few weeks ago. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 to 14. It says, in Gibeon, this is the beginning of the reign of Solomon. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. I've mentioned this before, but how would you like it if God came and said, ask for anything you want? Okay? We think of Aladdin, you got three wishes. You can't wish for more wishes. But God said, you can have whatever you want. Look what Solomon does. And Solomon says, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. And he did. By the way, he showed it to us too. According as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. By the way, Solomon's being very humble here. Say, wow, you have allowed David's son, which is me, to sit on the throne and be king. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Could you imagine? You're thrust into that position. He's just the son of David, and not just the son, but David is gone now, and Solomon is thrust into that position. And there's a lot going on there. He had a brother that tried to steal the kingdom from him. And, you know, you got enemies and so forth, and the job of building the temple, Solomon already knew about that. And Solomon's like, man, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. He was responsible for them. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I might discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge so great a people? What he really is asking for is wisdom. We'll see some of these words he uses in a minute are key words in the book of Proverbs. He says, I don't know how to handle this. I need an understanding heart, and I need you to help me with this. Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said, he didn't say bingo. I was going to say, God said, bingo. God said, that's the answer I like to hear. Verse 11, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life. He could have said, man, let me live to be 200. Now he had 1,000 wives, so he might have regretted that one later. Neither hast thou asked riches for thyself. Let me have all the money in the world. Nor hast asked the life of thine enemies. You know, listen, I want to be known as a warrior, and I want to conquer. I want to be like, you know, Alexander the Great, conquer the world. He didn't ask for that. But thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. God says, you're getting it. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon was the richest man that ever lived. God gave that to him. And I have given thee also that which thou hast not asked for, riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days. God says, bingo, you get it. I'm giving you wisdom. And I'm going to give you those things you didn't even ask for because you have the right kind of spirit. You have the right kind of heart. By the way, God wants us to have wisdom. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let me just explain this to you. All of you, all of us lack wisdom. And so we're supposed to ask God on a regular basis, Lord, I need wisdom to live this life. And I hope you do that. If you're new and you have a prayer list and you don't have that on there, put that on there. Yep. Ask God for wisdom. He says he gives liberally and he doesn't abrade us. He'll give us the wisdom that we need. And Solomon did that, so he was qualified. Now, I will give you a disclaimer to teach a truth. Solomon, towards the end of his life, quit practicing wisdom and started practicing folly. At the end of his life, and it's a small portion of scripture, and I hope as you read it, you catch it. Solomon didn't even follow the things that he mentions in Proverbs. He got away from God because he started violating some of God's principles later on in his life. By the way, wisdom is not something that we get, and once we get it, we'll always have it. We can choose to turn away from God and lose wisdom. It's a learning, growing process. Wisdom is something we get better at the more we grow, learn, and apply. I read a story. There was a teacher, a ceramics class, and the teacher came to the class, and she split the class into two. And she said, I'm going to grade half of you on quantity of work. How much pottery you make. In other words, if you guys, and you had to put something together, if you make 50 pounds, you all get an A. If you get 40 pounds, you get a B, and so forth and so on. So I'm going to grade this half on quantity. She said, this half, I'm going to grade you on quality. I want you to produce only one piece of pottery, but it had better be perfect. Your whole grade depends on that. Well, when the class was over, guess who had the best piece of pottery produced? It wasn't the quality group, it was the quantity group. What they come to find out is, as the group was just cranking out as many as they could, they learned from their mistakes. And every time they created another one, they strove to make it a little bit better than the next. And so they grew in their ability, and they created a better piece than the people that obsessed over one. That's kind of how life is. The longer we're a Christian, the more we grow. We're going to grow in wisdom, and we're going to do things better. And those times we step away from being wise, and maybe we make a mistake, we, if we're open to it, we'll learn from it, and we'll be better Christians, and we'll be better followers of God as a result. So don't be, look, we all start at a certain level. The goal for us is to grow from that level and to go forward. Not, doesn't matter what level you're on. If we were to give Proverbs a theme, the light, it really could just be stated, the Christian life instruction manual. It's an instruction manual on how to live as a Christian on this earth. Now, when we think of a proverb, what is a proverb? I think it's in your paper there. It's a truth that is vividly told and illustrated in a simple statement so that it is easy to remember and understand. That's what proverbs are. Look at Proverbs 25, 25 as an example there. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, when you read a proverb like that, it creates a picture in your mind, okay? You know, you're thirsty, and maybe you've been out working, and you're a little bit hot, and man, you're thirsty, and you're kind of dehydrated. Man, nothing better than an ice-cold glass of water, not what some of you were thinking, okay? It's refreshing. That, and he says, that's like it is when you get good news from a far country, when you hear something good and it encourages you. It's like that glass of cold water. And so it teaches in statements like that. They are short statements, and they teach us in a few words practical truth that relate to areas of life, and it makes it easy to understand. As we go through Proverbs, and actually all three of them are mentioned in these first verses that we read, there are three types of people that Proverbs talks about. First of all, it talks about the wise person. Who is a wise individual in God's eyes? It's not what you think. It's one who learns God's word and applies it to his life. That is a wise man. It's somebody that, as Proverbs says, you learn that truth in Proverbs and you take it and you make it a part of your life. I'm ringing a little here. You make it a part of your life and you put it into practice. That's a wise individual. Not how smart you are. Not just familiar with the facts of the Bible. I know people that could know all the stories of the Bible. I mentioned before, and I won't go through it again, when I was in Bible college, my friend's bus route was a drunkard who lived on the streets, and I met him, and he had the whole book of Proverbs memorized, every single word. I didn't believe my buddy when he goes, that guy has the book of Proverbs memorized. I said, I don't believe you. He goes, go talk to him. So I went out there. The guy was, he looked like he had been drinking the night before. I said, hey, I heard you have the book of Proverbs memorized. Quote me something. And man, he started right in the middle of the book, and he was spot on. But you know what? He didn't live any of it. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is ability to take those words he had memorized, and actually, he should have remembered Proverbs, I believe it is 20, where it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He might want to remember that one. So that's wisdom. So there's a wise man, and Proverbs talks about that, and actually that'll be the first area that we're going to look at later on. It's not enough to have knowledge and be educated. We need wisdom, the ability to use that knowledge. Wisdom takes knowledge from the mind and blends it in to our everyday actions. So there's the wise man. Also in the verses we mentioned, and throughout the book of Proverbs, it mentions a second character who is the fool. The fool is one who ignores and defies God's word. Now, I don't know. I remember when I was, I got out of high school early. They didn't want me there, and I didn't want to be there. And so I decided that I'd follow Robert's path, and I left school. I don't know if Robert, you probably finished, right? Whatever. So so I got out of school. I got my GED, and I don't know why. I got a GED, and that was fine. And my buddy, we were working, and he's going to go to night school and get his diploma. So I thought, yeah, I'll get a diploma, too. I'll go to night school. I found out you can drop out of night school, too, because I did that. I figured, like, man, what am I doing here? It's a waste of my time. I already got a GED. But I was in I don't know if it was a psychology class, and you know, like you call somebody, you're an imbecile and you're a moron. Do you know those are categories on the IQ scale? How many of you knew that? If your IQ is a certain level, you're considered a moron. And I don't know if fool's one of them. And I remember he told us that, moron, imbecile, doofus. The highest one I think is Mensa, and that's where I was. No, just kidding. And I remember he said, encouraged, he goes, listen, if your IQ level is you're a moron, you're not going to graduate to imbecile, okay? Where you are is where you are. Well, that's encouraging, thank you. But it's not like that on this scale here. We might be foolish. There was a time in my life I was a fool, okay? There was a time when I defied God's principles and I ignored them in my life and I did my own thing. And so wherever we're at, we can graduate. We're not like, you know, hey, if you're a moron, you can be a wise moron, okay? You don't have to be a foolish one. By the way, there are people that their IQ might put them, and I don't, there was something above moron that was better. I think moron is like the IQ of a plant. I'm not sure. But there's other ones there. Okay, average. Listen, it doesn't matter what your IQ is. What is your character level? That's the important thing. I'd much rather have a better character level than a higher IQ, by far. But a fool, he's one who ignores and defies God's word. It's purposeful. They are choosing to ignore God, and Proverbs states that they will pay the price. So you have a wise man, you have a fool. Then you have, and it was mentioned in the verses, the simple person. The one who doesn't know or understand God's word. They're just simple. They've never heard it. They haven't got it yet. Now, in some cases, they're choosing to be simple, and they're going to stay there. In other cases, maybe that's where they're at, and God wants them to get understanding so they can graduate and become wise. So that's the three people. Just because we are not in a category doesn't mean sometimes we act that way. In other words, you can really, the desire and goal of your life, and for the most part, you can make wise decisions and you can try to apply God's word. It doesn't mean sometimes we through lack of diligence or lack of being discreet, we may do something foolish in a certain area. You know what I'm talking about. And it also doesn't mean just because someone, the gist of their life is foolish, they may do something wise in another area, although that doesn't categorize them. So if we're wise, we need to be careful we don't step down into the foolish areas that we seek to do it. Look, sometimes we categorize things. We say, in this area of my life, I want to obey God and I want to find out what he says, but in this area of our life, I don't want to. There are people that don't go to our church. We had them in the past, and they'll still come by and drop off their offering check because they're saying, I don't really want to live for God, but I don't want my finances to be cursed. Can I just tell you something? God wants you to tithe if you're a Christian. I'll say that again. God wants us to tithe if you're a Christian. But you know what God wants when the offering plate comes by every week? He wants you to jump inside. We ought to offer ourselves. Okay, we're not buying God off. God wants us 100%. He doesn't just want our money. He doesn't just want our time. He wants our heart. And if he has our heart, we'll do the things we're supposed to do. And so, so much about that. Proverbs is about wisdom, as we mentioned. The words wise and wisdom are used over 100 times. The aim of Proverbs is to get us to acquire and apply God's wisdom to the decisions and actions of this life. Sometimes Solomon uses the phrase, my son. Almost like he's talking from a father to a child. You know, you try to tell your kids to learn some things. Like, hey, don't do that. Okay, you know, don't stand around. Don't do this. You got to do that. And that's the thing. Think of Proverbs as the Heavenly Father trying to teach practical daily truths to us that we apply in our life. Let's not be like some children, and like I'm sure we all were to a certain extent, where we don't appreciate our parents or understand what they're teaching us until later on in life when we kind of start having children. And then we understand like, okay, they knew a little bit more than I thought. Mark Twain, his real name was Samuel Clemens. That's the name he used as he wrote, is given credit for this remark. He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Now listen, the father hadn't learned anything. The son had learned the father's right. Remember, I heard a quote by Wayne Gretzky. He said, man, when I was younger, I knew everything. My father didn't know anything. He goes, man, when I got into my 30s, I understood my father was right about a lot of things. And so let's trust God. Let's trust him. He's speaking as a heavenly father to his son. As we get into the Proverbs, you don't study Proverbs the way you would study another book. In other words, if we were looking, say, at the book of James, we would go to chapter 1. We would tell you what chapter 1 is about. We might take the first 7 verses because that talks about a certain subject, and you go through those verses and you learn the subject. That's not how Proverbs is written. Now, there are sections of Proverbs where these, like the first verses that we're going to look at tonight, those are introductory. It tells you a little bit about why we should get into Proverbs. But Proverbs isn't like that. It's just, you, for the most part, it's just a bunch of sayings. Now, there might be one verse that has a saying that teaches a truth, 3 or 4 verses that go together. There's a chapter that talks about immorality that'll scare you to death if you read it, and it ought to. But for the most part, it talks about just in terms of subjects. And so the best way to look at Proverbs is to deal with the subjects Proverbs talks about and go through them one at a time and getting scattered through the verses, and that's what we will do. And so it's by topics. Now, tonight, in the few minutes we have left, we're going to go through the introduction of the verse, the book of Proverbs. The first seven verses is actually a little introduction, tells you about Proverbs, what God wants us to get, and how he wants to work in our life. So look at number one in your sheet there tonight, the purpose of Proverbs. What is the purpose? I think it's stated particularly in verses 2-4, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, if we get that, if we get wisdom, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Proverbs has these points he wants us to get, and it's the purpose. Letter A, as I mentioned before, and it's the key one, God wants us to get wisdom. Wisdom is the whole course. Wisdom is the whole teaching of Proverbs. These other areas we're going to look at underneath there, they're all related to wisdom. They either proceed from wisdom or else they help us to get to wisdom. But wisdom is it. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. God wants us to incline our ear to get his wisdom. The other things we mentioned as before fall under getting wisdom. Now understand this. Wisdom has nothing to do with IQ. Nothing. I already mentioned that earlier. And don't take this the wrong way. I'm all for education. I'm all for finishing school. Although it worked out nicely for me when I dropped out, but that was different because I wasn't interested in school. I was just being an idiot. That's a whole different subject. Hung around with Robert Ramirez just totally messed me up. Or I messed him up. It was one of those two things. Education is not wisdom. It's not. Education is a god in our society. And by the way, I'm for it. We have a Christian school, okay? And contrary to what you think, the kids don't just come here and learn the Bible 24 hours a day. That's not it. By the way, there's a reason that you typically, when we have a child, unless they're really high end, if they come into our Christian school, if your children are new to our school, you've probably experienced this, they're going to struggle with their grades a little bit. You know why? We actually expect them to learn. We're not just passing somebody's agenda onto them and passing them on, even if they haven't passed the test. They're going to pass it. And we're going to try to get them to learn. But it's not educate. We see, education is as valuable as what's being taught. If you're being taught nonsense, that education is not very valuable. Okay? I hope I'm not losing you here. I want our kids to read. I want them to be able to write. I want them to know their math. I want them to know all that stuff they're supposed to know. Now, we're not going to teach them anybody's agenda. We're not going to put the politically correct anti-Bible stuff down their throat. Okay? We're going to teach them the things they need. And by the way, you say, oh, you know, at the other school, they didn't get demerits. Well, we're trying to teach them a little bit of character too. If the kids have self-control and character, they're going to be able to go forward in life. Okay? And by the way, well, you know, your school, this and that. Listen, we have graduates in ministry. We have graduates that aren't ministry, and they're successful. They would look at the world and it'd be successful as those that graduated from a public school, or more so, to be honest with you, because they have a little bit of character to them. And so I'm all for education, but it's what is being taught. All right? If they're going somewhere that's teaching them nonsense, then that's a problem. We need character and godly values also. Wisdom has everything to do with how we live. You can go to Harvard and be a straight A. You can go to MIT. You can go to the highest college in this land and get straight A's. But if you don't have wisdom and you have a messed up life, what good is it? Now, I hate to say this, and I'm not being mean to the guy, but President Clinton was, and by the way, our presidents, I disagree with a lot of the stuff our current president is. I think he doesn't understand the Constitution, a lot of other things. He is a smart man. You don't get to be president by not understanding things. And so was Bill Clinton. But can I just tell you something? He had no wisdom. He lied. He was immoral, okay? That's not an example we want. Oh, but the economy was good because this and that and the other. Listen, the guy had no morals. And I'm not telling you something his wife didn't say. When your wife and you're the president of the United States describes you, and your morality as he's like an old dog, he's hard to keep on the porch. That was a quote from Mrs. Clinton. That's repulsive. And that's not a good example. Wisdom isn't just IQ, and he's a very smart man. It's how do you live? Now, you know what's good about that? None of us in here are geniuses, right? We can all be wise. We can all take God's word and make it a part of our life. And that's what God wants. So wisdom. I hope I didn't offend anybody. I'm just trying to. Anyhow, next, instruction. What is instruction? Instruction carries the word that carries the idea of discipline to receive and understand correction. All of us need corrections in our life. We are corrected when we learn or we're instructed in those areas that we were ignorant about, where we're going astray. Proverbs 4:13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Listen, if we come to the Bible with the thought that I have all the answers and there's nothing wrong in my life, we're not going to learn instruction. There has to be a discipline to say, I'm here to learn what God wants me to have, and if it goes against my life, wisdom says, and instruction says, I'm going to change and correct my course. By the way, that's why the same two people could come to the same church, read the same Bible cover to cover, and go out from church and go out from reading the Bible, and one's life is a complete wreck and a complete mess, and the other is being prosperous and God's blessing them. What's the difference? One will receive instruction. They'll say, I'll listen to what's being taught to me. Letter C, understanding. Understanding. Understanding is the ability to grasp the truth, to really get it. Wisdom springs from understanding. Because if we don't understand the truth, we'll never be able to apply it or put it into practice in our life. Sometimes people are like, man, you guys at your church there, when you teach, you're kind of pointed and you're kind of straight to the point because the Bible's pointed. If you want to come here and get some flowery dissertation that you don't understand and doesn't apply to your life, you're wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. We ought to just stay home and take it easy. But that's not the point of the Bible. The point of the Bible is to learn something that's profitable, and we have to understand it. Proverbs 10:13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of them that is void of understanding. We find wisdom when we understand. That's why Proverbs is so good. You understand it through what it is telling us, through the little statements. Prudence, letter D. The word subtlety means prudence. Prudence is the ability to reason things, behind things. We get it, and we can think it through, and where it's leading, and what's going on. We see it from the perspective of where they are headed. I, wisdom, Proverbs 8:12, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I understand that. I understand what's going on, and I understand where it's going and where it can lead me to. See, most of us just think in terms of today, but prudence says, if this course of action, this thing in my life, where will it take me? Where will it lead me to? And you think it through, and hey, that's not the path I want to go down. I better go down God's path. We see the whole picture, not just the here and now. Letter E, knowledge. Knowledge. We cannot apply or live that which we do not know. Knowledge is a starting point to wisdom, getting the facts that God is stating. Without it, we will not be wise. Proverbs 8, 10-11, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Why? For wisdom is better than rubies. Well, knowledge is mixed in there in instruction. Why? It leads us to wisdom. We have to know it. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Oh, I wish I was a millionaire. God says it's better for you to be wise. Okay? Hosea 4:6, when God was telling why their people were in Israel was being condemned, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They didn't have knowledge, so they couldn't put it into practice in their life. That's the downside. Also, 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puppeth up, but charity edifieth. Knowledge without listen, we get knowledge of the Bible so we can put it into practice, not so we know a bunch of facts. Because just knowing a lot of things brings pride. But if we really love, we'll edify. So knowledge can have a downside. And then letter F, discretion. What is discretion? The ability to use wisdom to plan a course of action. Most people, a problem comes up, you know what they do? They just do the first thing that comes to their mind. I got to do something. Wham. No, you don't. If you got a problem, think it through. What would God want me to do? Take your time. Find out what God wants you to do. Plot a course and follow the course. The discretion of a man does what? Defers his anger. See, man, the discretion is the first thing that comes out. I got to do this. No, I'm not going to get angry right now. Let me think this thing through. Is this worth it? And his glory is to pass over a transgression. You see, let's just take that verse, for instance, and he gets mad about something. It's going to ruin a relationship. But he says, you know what? Discretion says, let's think this thing through. This relationship is important. I don't want to do that. Let me put this off. I'm going to pass over. I'm going to let this one go. It's not that big a deal. That takes discretion. Look at number two. As time is running out, the prosperity of Proverbs. A wise man will hear and increase learning. 5 and 6. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. If we strive for wisdom, receive the words of Proverbs in the Bible, we'll have a spiritually prosperous life. The word increase and attain. But it all hinges on our desire to hear. It's our willingness to want to hear and make application. That's why this guy can hear something from the Bible and go off, put it into practice, and God does something in his life. And this guy here, he doesn't do anything with it, and God doesn't do anything in his life. One had a desire to really hear and really do what it says. The other was just, look, there are people that come here, and it's you know, it is what it is. I'm not the Pope. But they're just here putting in their, I checked off, I went to church this week. Well, I hope that's not why we're here. And Thursday night crowd, this isn't you. Newer people sometimes. Like, I gave God his Sunday morning, I'm good. Now I can do what I want the rest of the week. No, that's not hearing. Hearing it, look, sometimes people come in, hey, I want to talk to you about something. I'm having this problem. What do I do? It's like, brother, I don't tell them this, but I think, brother, we just talked about that 2 weeks ago in church. You know, you probably opened the Bible, you heard what I said, you laughed at the funny jokes, you didn't get the point. Okay? And so that's wisdom. So he wants us to be prosperous. How are we prosperous when we hear? There's increased learning. We grow in our learning. The scriptures are vast in the teaching, but if we will hear, we will increase and we'll understand it more and more. You say, man, I'm new to this. Some of you in here, you're new to this Christianity thing. It's like, man, I'm not getting it all. Can I just tell you something? I've been reading the Bible since 1980, and I still don't have it. Man, I'll read stuff in there and like, well, I didn't see that. It's like, brother, I've read that hundreds of times. There's so much in there. But you know what? It's a course. You're growing. You're going forward. And that's what you want to do. And the more you understand, the more it all makes sense to you. So my question to you is, what's your desire level? Do you really desire to get it? That's what makes the difference. B, wise counsel. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. We have two choices when it comes to how we're going to live our life. We live our life based on our own counsel, what I think is best, whatever comes to mind. You know, what somebody who doesn't know God said, and I heard that, and I just think that sounds good. That's not the choice. The other choice is we can do it the way God says. That's sound counsel. By the way, that's what counsel is. Counsel is, you know, what color should I paint my house? I flip a coin. Just, you know, don't do something goofy. And that's not life-altering. But like, hey, you know, what does God say about this area? That's counsel. That's what the Bible says. And the more we know the Word of God, listen now, the more we're getting it, the less counsel we really need. Now, all of us at one time need counsel sometimes. You know, we have a choice to make. We kind of figure it out. We just want to kind of talk about it and make sure we're doing the right thing. I get that. But most of the decisions in our life, the more we know God's Word, we'll know exactly what God wants us to do, and it's not negotiable. Okay, so we get wise counsel. And then letter C, applied understanding. We will not just know the words that it says, but the actions that it applies. In other words, Proverbs, very easy, said, here's a picture because here's what you're supposed to do. We get that. All right, and then number 3, and we're done. The path of Proverbs, we'll just give these to you. That's all these are for. Verse 5 says, a wise man will hear. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what's he telling us? Letter A, the wise will hear and will fear. And we'll explain what fear is. It's really understanding our accountability to God. If we're wise, well, not it, here isn't just going in the ear. Here is, I'm listening so I can get it. And then we'll fear God, which isn't being afraid of him, but like, I'm accountable to you, Lord, and I know you want me to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm in. And we won't be wise if we don't do that. Letter B, the foolish will despise and ignore, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I don't want to hear it. I don't hear it. Why? I'm ignoring and defying God's principles. I want to do what I want. I don't want to hear it. Not a lot you can do there. By the way, when sometimes we do that in a section of our life, we always pay the price. On the flip side, if we listen to God, we always receive the benefits and the blessings. Okay? So there's a positive and negative. And then letter C, here it is. The choice is ours. You say, where am I on the scale of wisdom in Proverbs? I can tell every single one of you exactly where you are. You're where you really want to be. Well, I want to be, and no, you're where you want to be. What's your desire level? And so I hope as we go through Proverbs, we'll learn some things that'll help us. Let's pray.